Welcome to UBS On Air Market Moves, a UBS Studios podcast which brings you beyond the highs and lows of the ticker with conversations that can broaden your thinking about the markets and your portfolio. I'm glad to welcome back to UBS On Air Eric Clark. Eric is a portfolio manager and serves as a member of the AccuVest Investment Committee. Eric, great to be on with you as always. Thank you for dropping by today and welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
So, Eric, perhaps we could begin by hearing your thoughts on the current state of the U.S. consumer. How would you characterize consumer sentiment at the moment, taking into account economic considerations such as the inflationary environment we've been living through?
Yeah, it's a great place to start. I mean, you know, for the last couple of years, consumers have been forced to overpay for virtually everything. And, you know, in the beginning of that, we had excess savings and we may not have liked to be overpaying, but we had a little extra cash in our pockets and we showed that we were willing to spend it because spending is in our DNA. You know, fast forward a couple of years, that's starting to wear on consumer sentiment. I mean, in general, consumer sentiment has been a little bit lower than normal because, you know, part of the population in particular just doesn't have a lot of excess savings. And so that wears on sentiment and forces some different behavior from a spending, you know, perspective. So, you know, the longer that consumers spend, or, you know, the longer that inflation stays, you know, higher and the longer that important categories of our spend, you know, become more expensive, I think that certainly wears on sentiment as well as, again, it kind of reinforces some of the spending habits that we build. And if those are working for us, we tend to stay with those even after the inflation, you know, leaves. And so, you know, monitoring, obviously our job is to monitor where inflation is, where interest rates are, you know, what the economy is. We look at labor, we look at incomes. You know, generally speaking, we might be overpaying for things in certain categories, but you know, incomes have been stable. The ability to get a job is good. Unemployment is low. You know, the wealth effect has been high with markets recovering. So, you know, largely the health of the consumer is good. They are largely spending. They're just not spending as broad as they once did because of this higher for longer kind of regime that we're in for now. So we're definitely seeing belt tightening, trading down activity, you know, much more interest in saving money in order to maybe have to spend more on things that we absolutely love, like going to that concert or going, you know, taking your family on vacation, et cetera. So, you know, understanding consumer psychology and where sentiment is obviously important from a stock selection perspective.
Branching off of that, Eric, would it be fair to say, just acknowledging the rate environment that we're in, higher for longer, as you said, we, of course, did hear from the Fed holding rates steady. It sounds like rate cuts, if any, coming perhaps later in 2024. Would it be fair to say that's been having a notable impact on consumer spending patterns and trends?
I think that's true. That's true. And I expect that to continue for a little bit longer, because in many cases, you know, you have the Fed trying to fight inflation with the tools that it has that are somewhat limited. And then on the other side, you have a lot of policies out of D.C. and, you know, with nearshoring and friendshoring and supply chain changes and manufacturing and infrastructure, raising the minimum wage in certain states for certain things. All of that is somewhat inflationary. So, you know, the two groups are somewhat at odds with each other, which just means that inflation probably does stay a little bit higher than the 2% that we grew accustomed to. And that means rates are going to be higher, maybe more volatile. And the economic data around that is going to be a little bit more volatile. I think we all just have to get used to that. And, you know, obviously in our industry, that has some broad implications for portfolios. And I think this is important. You know, I've had a lot of these conversations with advisors lately. You know, a lot of the allocation decisions that we've all made have been, you know, in a lower for longer type of regime. And so, you know, some people have changed allocations, but I don't see it broadly yet. So I would urge people to look at every line item they have in their portfolio to to stress test it a little bit for, you know, an environment where inflation, interest rates, the cost of capital is a little bit higher than what we've become accustomed to. Because candidly, from 08 to 2022, when rates started to go up, that was actually, if you look back 50 years, that was actually an abnormal period that just happened to last long enough that it felt like it was normal. And so, you know, just stress test the things that you have to see how they do in that kind of environment. And if you don't have the tools, we certainly have, you know, through Bloomberg and a few other things, we have the ability to look at categories to see, okay, what if rates stayed higher? How does that affect that asset class or that style factor? We're certainly happy to help in any way we can, but it is a regime that I think we're going to be staying in, and that's going to affect consumer spending. It's going to affect corporate profitability. It's going to affect who takes market share, who loses market share, you know, who has good top line growth. All of that stuff feeds right into the stock market and alpha generation or, you know, underperformance. So there's a lot to discuss in the, you know, at the current time.
I want to run a bit further with the other side of this. So we've covered the impacts to the consumer. On the other side of that being the brands themselves, how have brands been responding or perhaps adjusting in order to maintain, maybe even further capture consumer engagement, spending dollars, considering the environment that we've been living through?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the brands, I'll separate it between, you know, the low-end brands, you know, like a Costco or a TJ Maxx that thrive on higher volumes with a business model that's lower margins, and they just do a lot of volume, and they have a lot of high brand loyalty because people know that that's the brand I go to when I want to get good value, when I want to save money. Those brands are doing really well, and in many cases, they are the beneficiary of some of this trade down activity. And, you know, then you have the high end. Those are brands that sell higher end products and services that have a lot of brand love and in some cases aspirational brand love. Those companies are doing well because they're catering to a smaller subsegment of the population who sees the value and understands that, you know, that product or service is worth paying a little bit more for, even though I might have to, you know, cut some spending in some other areas to be able to go to that concert or buy that Louis Vuitton bag, you know, et cetera. It's brands in the middle and the retailers in the middle, I think, that are going to continue to get squeezed. And we certainly avoided most of that, you know, most of that category. Those could be, you know, department stores or mass market retail. You know, those kinds of brands are, they're kind of wedged between not having that real strong differentiation of product, but they still have higher price points that aren't as intriguing to a consumer, and they just they can't operate or compete with the lower end brands that are really serving customers really well. So, you know, it really depends on the brand, and, you know, I've been saying this for a while, you know, up in quality, up in brand love with pricing power or pricing flexibility with high differentiation of products, you know, a super strong balance sheet that doesn't need access to the capital markets and funding markets to you know, to fuel growth. Those are the brands that are really winning in today's market. And, you know, we know that in difficult times, the best companies, the innovative companies, the people that have balance sheet strength, that can spend right through a slowdown or a different, you know, difficult environment, those are the ones that end up taking that market share, you know, and when you come out the other end, they have the new set of growth metrics, which fuels stock. So it, you know, not every brand, not every company is really suited for this kind of environment. So we've certainly been more concentrated in the portfolio than maybe normal, around 20 to 25 stocks. And I just don't know if this is the time to own, you know, thousands of stocks, because thousands of companies just aren't thriving in this kind of environment. But that's, you know, we still think the consumer is strong in spending. They're just doing it very selectively rather than broadly. And as we see broad spending start to appear, then you can expect us to have more names than we do currently.
Well, Eric, thank you very much for all of the transparency. Very productive session, and do appreciate your take on the state of the U.S. consumer. Be great to have you back at some point for a follow-up conversation, though. Thank you again for dropping by today.
Really appreciate it, Dan.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.